Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of what it means to have eternal life. When you bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as Savior and Lord, the Bible says you receive eternal life. Eternal life is not live forever life. Most Christians have the idea, or many Christians have the idea, that eternal life means to live with God forever in heaven. Well, we are going to live with God forever in heaven because of what Jesus did for us and because we've accepted Him as Savior and Lord. But that's not what you receive at the new birth. At the new birth, you receive the life in God, the life that's in God Himself. His uncreated eternal life comes into your spirit and recreates it. And we're taking some time to talk about that. If you're born again today, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've got something in you that you didn't have before, and it's supernatural. Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics. I made this statement last week. Yes, there are certain things you must believe as a Christian. And yes, there are certain behaviors and ethics connected with living as a Christian. But Christianity is not about being good and trying hard. Christianity is supernatural. I believe in being good and trying hard. But Christianity is bigger than that. It's about union with God through Jesus Christ. Christianity is about receiving eternal life through the new birth. Eternal life is the uncreated life in God Himself. When we believe on Jesus, we, our spirit, our innermost being, is united to the life in God, and we're literally born of God. We become partakers of God's life and God's nature. Now, we don't become God or gods. It's always He's the Creator, we're the created. But as His sons and daughters, we receive His life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Verse 11 goes on to say, "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." The life that's in the Son, Jesus, is the life that comes into you when you believe on Jesus. The next verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, goes on to say, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." If you've believed on Jesus, you hath it. You've got eternal life in your spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus." There's life in Christ. The New Testament uses three different word pictures to describe the relationship we have with Jesus once we believe on Him and are born of God. Vine and branch, head and body, and husband and wife. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the head, we're the body. He's the husband, we're the bride. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. He's the husband, we're the wife. All three of those word pictures depict union. A branch is united to the vine. A head and body are joined together, and a husband and wife are joined together. And all three depict shared life. A branch gets its life from the vine. The body has the same life in it the head has, and the husband and the wife share life. Let me read you one more verse here. This verse startles a lot of Christians because they don't realize it's in the Bible, or maybe it doesn't register on them. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm coming in the middle of a rather lengthy sentence that talks about what is ours through union with Christ, or through through the knowledge of Jesus. Let me say it that way. What is ours through the knowledge of Jesus, through knowing Jesus. This is verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Listen to this. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us through the knowledge of Jesus are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through the knowledge of Jesus, we become partakers of the nature that's in God, the divine nature. The life that makes God God comes into us at the new birth. He's the creator, we're the created, he's God, we are sons and daughters of God. That distinction is always there, but we now have his life on the inside of us. To walk in, well, let me say this first before I say that. We discussed this last week, we laid a foundation for all this. The ultimate goal of salvation is to produce a transformation in man, turning us from sinners into sons, turning us from unrighteous, unholy men and women into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. And it's that life, the life of God, the life in God, that produces that transformation. To walk in victory, you must learn to see the way things really are so you can work in cooperation with God. You are alive in your spirit with the uncreated life in God himself. Your purpose, your identity, let me say it this way, your purpose, your destiny, God's greatest concern for you is that you become his son or daughter through faith in Jesus Christ and then be conformed to the image of his son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For those whom God foreknew, he did also predestinate or decide beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son." That's God's plan for you. Everybody wants to know, what's God's plan for me? And by that they mean, what job should I have? Where should I live? Where should I go to school? What's my ministry? What's my career? Those things are all important. I'm not knocking any of it. But God has something bigger for you, and that is conformity to the image of Christ. See, Jesus is the pattern for God's family. God's desire since eternity past was and is to have a family of sons and daughters he could indwell and through whom he could express himself. And Jesus is the pattern for that family. Jesus, and we discussed this in detail last week, Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God. However, while on earth, he did not live as God. He lived as a man in dependence on God his Father. He lived as a man in dependence on the life of his Father in him. And in doing so, he showed us what sons and daughters of God look like. See, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ means you're still you. You don't become Jesus, but you're the you God always intended you to be, free from sin, corruption, and death in every part of your being, and like Jesus in character and power, holiness and love. God accomplishes this by giving us his life. See, if I keep reading here in Romans chapter 8, where I just said he predestined that we should be conformed to the image of his son. Verse 30 says, "Moreover, them whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." We could do a whole lessons just on this verse, because this verse in a nutshell describes how God turns sinners into sons, how God turns unrighteous men into righteous men, how God turns unholy women into holy women. He's called us. In other words, he's got a purposeful plan to which we've been invited. He's justified us. To be justified means to be made just as if you never sinned. That's what the cross does for us. And whom he justifies, them he also glorifies. To be glorified means to be made alive with the life of God in every part of our being. We said this last week. Jesus did not die to give us a better life or to help us solve our problems. Those will be byproducts of living the Christian life, no doubt about it. But that's not why Jesus came to earth. See, if Jesus came just to give you a better life and you die and go to hell, what's the point? No, he came to go to the cross so that our sin could be paid for, our debt could be paid for, our sin could be wiped out, and we could then receive an abundance of the uncreated eternal life in God. There are several words for life in the Greek language, each one with a different meaning. Psuche refers to the natural human life we receive through our first birth. Zoe refers to the life we receive when we are born again, the uncreated life in God. And bios refers to the manner of life or our conduct or behavior. We were created to be partakers of eternal life. Our natural human life, or psuche, is a vehicle for expressing the uncreated life of God, or Zoe, which then empowers us to live life in a manner that is pleasing to God, bios. We receive Zoe, and then we can live and walk, even as Jesus walked. To have an abundance of eternal life means over and above, to the point of overflow. To have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Jesus came that we might have the uncreated eternal life in God to the point of overflow, transforming our entire being, bringing us into full conformity to Jesus Christ, holy, righteous sons and daughters of God who perfectly express the character and power of God. Now, I realize that lessons like this don't seem practical. You may be thinking, I have real trouble and need real help. However, all the problems you face, all the problems faced by the human race, are actually manifestations of a deeper problem, namely spiritual death. Spiritual death is another name for separation from God. Man's problem, apart from Jesus Christ, is that he is dead or cut off from the life in God because of sin. You may recall that God told Adam in Genesis 2:17, "The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll die." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Ephesians 2:1, describing Christians before they were born again, says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Deuteronomy 28 lists the consequences of sin or the results or curses of breaking God's law. And in that chapter, we find every ill that plagues the human race. It's all a manifestation of death. God's remedy is his life. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.